Silent night, when God came down as a holy child. Mary was starting to feel the labor. The inn was full, so they went to the stable. Town was buzzing and full of life. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Well, baby, Jesus was meek and mild. The barnyard gang was going wild. The camel spitting, the donkeys kicking, the mother hen chasing baby chicken. Not a soul gonna sleep tonight. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Now go. Silent night, well, the angels sang, so all could hear. The king is born, but do not fear. You'll find him in a manger low, but he'll grow up and save your soul. The trumpet blast shook the sky. It's anything, baby, but a silent night. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Glory, glory, what's it to you? They traveled down until they arrived at Bethlehem town. Praise the Lord, what a sight. Anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, let's have some fun. Oh, yeah. Glory, glory, what's it to you? But God sent his son to get us right. It's anything, baby.
And his only son. and wide, just to stand by that baby's side. The glory stream from up above. He is light and he is love. The cows are restless, the baby's crying. It's anything, baby, but a silent night.
Glory.
Up in here. There's a baby born. Jesus, the Lord's son. Can't be quiet.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Lama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you. Because we're together, weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear all the angels cheer, because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say those words and we'll beat those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, pack up, let's fly.
Hi, guess who? I'm kind of back, partly, through the miracle of modern quackery. I can almost speak. This is Jerry. Hi, everybody. At least I have a little bit more energy. I'm sounding worse, but feeling better. So it's that phase. Say hi to everybody. chat. Ooh, we have a couple of chatters who, guesters who are part of the moment. We have Denon. See, it's not all great. And Raina and Rosemary. And still one guest. And, yes. I get it. Yes. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, Raina just put in chat that she read the article today that came out that the Pope called the Prime Minister of Palestine the Prince of Peace. not quite. So anybody who is really honoring Christ would be careful not to use those words. We'll just point that out. Okay, I had there's a little bit of pardon me. It's a little bit of old business here. My cough's come up and I don't have time to mute myself. Anyway, a little bit of old business. Golly, a couple of weeks ago, I was really led through an experience to that brought me to B.B. King. And we had already loaded some of his music in the studio. And it was about blues. And he was, you know, Jason had some things about B.B. And right after we had that discussion, the very next thing I went to was an article that led me to B.B. King and the fact that he was in hospice care. It sounded like he may not live very long. And in fact, he did die a couple of days ago on the evening of the 14th. And I believe that is a harbinger for us in particular. So here I am, and I'm going to play a couple of songs that he has, or that we have of his in the studio. For two reasons. First of all, I believe it was a harbinger for us. And secondly, this happens to be the one-year anniversary of the first time I ever called in to RCC, our Rapture Centric show. So this is a one-year anniversary of bold jackass dumb for me. And so I'm going to celebrate that with one of his songs, which is a happy birthday song. And so we'll play a couple of those, and then Gene and I have a couple of things, and then we'll open it up for everybody else, if I can get there. The first song is called Take It Home, and he has certainly gone home just, I think, ahead of us.
Way down south, there's a clear
I'm working on it. I'm still a little slow these days. We're getting there. Actually, while I'm here, I see, oh, she dropped off. I was on the line. I had a question specifically I needed to ask. So we will go to the song to celebrate, along with B.B. King, our blues happy birthday song, which is 1 year anniversary that first time I recalled in, and special to me for sure. I want to check in with her. Tana, I think you're working, but are you talking right now? Are you trying to log in by any chance on your new computer?
No. I'm on the road, so I'm on my way to work.
Okay. Okie dokie.
That's not me.
Well, I just had some background business to take care of, and I wanted to be sure, since I knew you weren't totally set up yet, probably. Okay.
Yeah. I'll log in when I get home, though.
I didn't want to be rude, if you know what I mean. Okay. Okay, well, anyway, so I'm going to bring on Judy, and we're going to get into the couple things I know we want to talk about, and then we'll get into the rest.
I love you. I love you, Jesus.
Love you, Tana. Yep. We have besides Jesus, we have Tana and Pat and Alana and Ben on the line. I'm going to bring on, I'm going to open up Judy's line and we'll see what we can do here. Hi, Judy. She's ready. She's not ready. I will just kind of make strange noises with my throat. Okay. Well, let's just say hi to everybody then. Here's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey, I'm doing good. How y'all doing? I know you're getting over being sick, but I hope y'all are doing
well.
Yeah,
I'm working on it. Yeah, at least. I feel a little better, even if my voice isn't. So, yeah, thanks. But
Hey, Ben. Hey, Jerry, I just did something really silly because I was kind of in a rush. I have to run back to the pool for the boys, and I'm going to share when we're ready to share. But I wanted to say I accidentally logged in under Rapture Centric 101, and I'm giving everybody kisses, so they probably think it's from you. And you're probably wondering why, you know. So, anyway, I meant to sign in as CJ Cooper 007, but I wasn't thinking. So, hi, chat room. We won't chat till later because I'm at the pool with the boys, and then we're going to come back in. And but I just wanted, it's me. So, I, you know how I figured out I did it?
So,
I was trying to kiss Jerry, the host. I was trying to give you a kiss. And then I'm like, why isn't this working? And I kept clicking. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, because that's me. Yeah. So anyway, God bless everybody in chat. I love you guys. I love you, Ben. Good to hear your voice, hon. I talked to Pat before the show. I'm going to mute myself, and then I can share stuff in like 15 minutes.
Okay, so can I log back in, or do you want to stay in as 101? I guess I don't know. Well, we'll just finish saying hi, everybody.
Yeah, no, Jerry, hi, Jerry, go ahead. No, yes. Jerry, kick me out. Go ahead and kick me out, because I just left my computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go ahead and do that. Okay.
Yeah.
There's Alana.
Good evening,
Church. I will be. And Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Okay. Tornado warnings have passed, so we're just under severe storm watch. So I haven't flown up ahead of you guys.
Yeah, no cheating. No cheating.
No cheating allowed, Lord.
Right.
So we stopped all the tornadoes because I told them no cheating allowed. Judy had called me. She was so concerned. I said, I'm not worried at all. And I said, nah, you're not going anywhere without us.
No, you know what? Pat was trying to make me jealous. I'm walking to the pool now. Pat was trying to make me jealous. She's acting like she's, you know, going to get swept away in a tornado. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I am jealous because I want to get swept away in a tornado. But we were just kidding. We were just kidding.
Oh,
and yeah.
No.
We were having
so that's
me
good.
And Pat were, I'm like, wait a minute. Don't make me close today because today I'm being tried and tested. So going in a tornado or... Sounds great. You know what I would like? I don't even care if I go up and then I drop back down and get killed from the fall. I don't even care.
No, I just like going up.
I heard about that family whose house, the mobile home, was carried away and then dropped and they all survived. I was like, bummer.
Wow.
You know?
bummer.
I'd be like, damn, I would be the one miracle. Kidding, you guys. God's really funny.
Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Funny. Hey, Alana.
Alana, baby.
How you doing?
Girl, I am just great, and you?
Good, good. You don't have a tornado watch. You're lucky.
You know, Alana works in the belly of the beast, so...
Oh, yeah.
That's a good term.
Wait a minute, Kat. Who's got then I have a tornado watch too, right?
Oh, good. Yeah, you're in Massachusetts, so I guess you did too. They were pressing it. I mean, they were. I've been here 16 years. I never heard them talk about tornado, you know, like that before. It was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we had one last year. It was the first time I actually. That's funny.
Oh, here's. I think this is
Sarah.
Yes,
hi guys.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Huh?
What happened? Oh, I thought someone said something. Yeah, I'm all right. How's everybody?
Okay. Still here.
Good, I'm hanging in there.
That's
good.
Barely
have a voice. I'm doing the best I can.
Oh. No, no.
It's okay. I'm on the upswing.
Well,
yes.
Rough when you get sick.
Is that Sarah? My who my owl? I love you, Sarah.
Yeah, it's me. I love you.
That's
too. You remember something like owls quack like a duck? It was really funny.
Yeah, me and Sarah, we're deep inside. We're animals. Okay. And she's an owl, and I'm a cat. But we're hybrids because we're humans too, huh, sir?
I'm a horse.
Yeah. Yay.
Congratulations, graduate.
I'm a chimera.
Yay. Congrats. Sorry, we live next to him, and there's all these graduates walking around where we live, and I had to say congrats. But anyway, Sarah.
Yes.
I can't believe you called again because this is the last show. We're pooping tonight. So this is
yeah.
I always knew Sarah would be calling in on a last show. I just knew it.
Really? It's the actual last show.
Yeah, because you didn't know that. We're leaving today.
Because I almost beat you up there.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing you guys in a second then.
Yeah, we're leaving today. You know, not today.
Amen.
But today.
Today. Tonight.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
The weather gets any more nuttier, we're definitely leaving. Something will take us off.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
So, Cervelle, Rosemary is saying in chat she loved your latest vid and that she could relate to everything you said.
Awesome.
So,
love you, Rosemary.
I really appreciate that.
Jackie said you was a fool, bro.
What the heck is that?
Well, I think
what
there's excitement
that?
At the pool.
Sounds like someone's yelling. I just want that for the record. It's not me yelling at the kids. I'm
really?
Not.
No,
yeah,
not
it really
you.
I'm sorry. That was my family yelling in the background.
Oh,
so I'm muting myself.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
bye.
Don't worry.
We'll let you.
Yeah, Sarah, it's usually me yelling at the kids, so yeah.
Or me at the cat.
It actually sounded a lot like a little prophet being very excited in the background. So I really
it did sound like my son. That totally sounded like my son. His high voice.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, that's weird. That sounds just like Nate.
Yeah, that's why.
A little home drama.
Cool.
I had to say something before
a...
Jerry was going to mute me because he gets embarrassed for me.
No, you're just normal.
I try occasionally to be normal.
I'm just loud, people. I'm a nice mom.
I know you are. I'm loud, too. I'm a nice mom.
I'm a loud mom.
I love you. I'm off to work.
I hear you.
Okay,
honey.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay, love you, too.
Love you, Sarah.
Bye, sweetie.
I have a
rapture.
Okay, honey.
Love you, Cervelle. Harry Rapture Wildlife Report. After the show started, my daughter poked her head in. They went to Walmart and back, which is a short trip there. And they saw two rapture rabbits and a woodchuck running along the road, the edge of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was
woodchuck.
And, we go up and down these roads all the time. That's woodchuck. And I would I would chuck that woodchuck. Would you chuck that?
There's a little ditty thing they say. How much does a woodchuck chuck to the? Forget it.
If I was a woodchuck chuck, I would chuck what? I would chuck a lot of wood.
I would chuck.
that's for beavers.
And anyway.
Oh,
anyway, I didn't. You know, it's not too surprising we'd have them around here, but I've never seen one. I've seen a gopher one time, but a woodchuck anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was the
we have them here.
Rapture Wildlife Report, as the show starts. Two Rapture rabbits.
We had one living under the little house we have. Yeah, like a shed thing, dug a big hole. And the dogs go in the hole trying to find it. They're going to get their face bit off. He's fat. This thing is fat. Oh, my gosh.
Really? Wow.
All the neighborhood. Yeah. No, groundhog. He's a groundhog. That's not a woodchuck, is it?
A groundhog. Oh, well.
It's a groundhog is different.
Groundhog is different than a woodchuck.
Yeah, okay. They kind of look alike.
Groundhogs, they are low and wide.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a big, fat groundhog.
Yeah, who knows? How does a groundhog get fat? What do they eat?
I don't know, but they get fat. He's getting it from all the neighborhood here. Because I throw out vegetables and stuff for him. You know, it's terrible. But I can't stand anything hungry. It's like I would feed every critter there is.
See, now Rosemary, I think she thinks woodchucks and groundhogs are the same thing.
I think they are.
Maybe they are.
Okay, back to the garage.
Wow. Well, I know one thing. Groundhogs, they get big. They get pretty big.
Oh, yeah, huge.
They get pretty big.
Especially when they're well fed.
Yep.
Yeah,
and,
every year the hole gets bigger under the shed, yeah.
Have we gone from rapture rabbits to rapture woodchucks?
Apparently. We did today.
Whack the groundhog.
We did today.
It must be the same thing. I don't know. I'm thinking they are. We better know before we get up there. Don't get his critters mixed up.
Yeah. Well,
that was.
Well, I didn't anticipate that being the topic of discussion today. That was not.
Oh, well.
That was not on the garage list.
No.
Actually, the truth is, basically nothing has been on the garage list for about a week.
Wow. Means we're going.
In my last moments of clarity for a few days, my dissertation on, not coincidentally, the New World Order orders to go into the bunkers on the 22nd of September, by the 22nd. September.
Yeah.
And from the Economist cover and how that related to Jade Hellman. And that was about it for quite a while. And I was even for a few days there, I was trying to talk to him and I couldn't even, I would start and my mind would just wander. It was awful. So, but in the last, especially last night, I started to, I felt a little better yesterday. I got to this one concert and part of it. And then last night, G and I had a couple of conversations, and we started the day yesterday feeling like, it's just time. It's just time, and this is what G and I are going to talk about a little bit. But it's... let's just put it this way. He's made promises to us, and we can see the circumstances around each of us individually. I know in my case, I feel like that which he's had me doing nearby is pretty much run its course. I don't think I can do much more there. And it's now time for us to call on him to answer and make real in human terms the promises that he has made to us and that we have made very significant sacrifices for. and it doesn't feel, it feels like an appropriate time to do that, you know, and in a way that it has not felt appropriate before, and now it does. And so I spent a lot of time last night. Poor Michelle, she sent me, I mean, it was like 3 in the morning my time, and she sent an email out with some garage work, and it was really cool stuff. And and she got this sort of bipolar response from me, and it was like, thanks, you know, really appreciate it. And then it was basically, I PS'd a note on the back end of the email. It was basically a call to God to, like, to get his... to get his own jackass in gear. And so I sent her another note this morning to make sure it wasn't too shocking what I said. And she said no, she chuckled, so I was glad she understood. It's, you know, I really feel like it is time for everything to come to pass. This is... a really important day, and in some ways I can't really explain, but we are in a very important set of sort of anniversaries here in the next few days, and I really think that they're going to bear fruit, and I can tell you that I have been able to spend some time with him. And have some exchange with him the last couple of days that I was not very effective at earlier in the week. And it doesn't feel wrong. It feels quite appropriate to expect him to deliver the promise on the promises that he's made. You know, it's not like we're expecting anything from him that he has not given us assurance about. We have made a lot of sacrifices, and we've made a lot of decisions in our lives at this point that would only glorify him. That would be their only real purpose. And we've done them because he's given us persistent expectation, persistent assurances of the promises that he has for us, not the least of which is that he simply asked us to do what we have done. And for so many of us, we have walked down that road, and there's all the productivity that can come from it is pretty much has occurred. There's not much more that could come of it. And I really believe it's time to start looking the other way. You know, last night I was saying and considering, you know, we've been fine with operating in an expectation, which is, you know, not understandable from a worldly point of view. We've been fine even when the things that we thought we knew were going to happen didn't happen. Not all of us from one day to the next, but basically, you know, our desire to follow his lead and to pursue our walk that he has set us on individually and collectively as our church and our group. We've been generally happy to do that. And we haven't required that we understand everything that he's doing. At times we certainly felt like we didn't understand anything he was doing. However, for this to have a value in earthly terms, there's a point at which it does have to become understandable from an earthly point of view. Because you know, we talk about God as being shady, but we know his heart is good, and we know he's got, we have willingly allowed him to do things in an unorthodox manner for his purposes as he's led. However, we know that in the end that he is not truly deceptive or abusive or what have you. You know, those real qualities belong to the adversary. And it is necessary for him, and I believe in the end, he will clarify things by doing what he said he would do. And part of doing what he said he would do is fulfill his promises to us and our expectations. But the other thing that that does is that it takes God's declarations and makes them more clear and more true and more powerful than the misdirection and the deception of the evil one. And that clarity and that power will shine through. And that is why I believe it is necessary at a point for all his promises, as difficult for so many people they have been to understand. I think that's why he has to reward those promises and make it clear at some point on some day that he does those things, because then everyone will be able to understand that even if they didn't understand every aspect of it, that the end point is clearly understood and that those promises have been fulfilled. And so my sense of it, and I know Judy's sense of it, and quite frankly, I in some of the email exchanges that Jason and I and Jason G have had, and some others of us, I think many of us, looks like Rosemary and Lena also, many of us really feel like, and I know, you know, we've all got some circumstances that are sort of hovering around our nearness in time and proximity that are relevant and important and just practical things, but they're still real. And well, I just think that there's a point at which these promises have to become, instead of hard to understand from a human point of view, they have to manifest in an understandable way from a human point of view. And that is a manner in which that he shows himself off to be a different character and a different power and a different integrity than the adversary. And I believe we're there. Could it be a day or more? Maybe. But I believe this is a change, certainly in my perception of things. And over the last few days, and Judy's experienced a very similar thing, where, as she, I think, pretty well explained last night, the way I would say it is a quite righteous kind of indignation, not anger at God, but at a righteous claim on one of his promises to us, because we're pursuing his promises to us. We're pursuing his leading, that the expectations he has allowed us to have as we have pursued him.
That's right, Jerry. Claim,
mm-hmm. It's a righteous claim on his promise. It's not a claim that he has not afforded us. It's something he's promised, and all we're doing is saying, okay, we've done it. We've walked the walk, we've talked the talk, and now it's time for you to deliver.
Right. Can you hear me, Jerry Berry?
Yeah, I can.
Beautiful. Beautifully set.
Yeah.
And in my kitchen, the sink, after he fell on my son, all within the same month, or was it December? It was very shortly after. He said, I'm accountable to you. And I was like, God, no, you're not. And I knew it wasn't
any misunderstanding what I heard. I was defending him right away. I went, what? Not me, not me. I'm just a, no, you're God. And he said, and then he said, accountable to you and your son. And he said it very authoritatively to do exactly what I said I was going to do, like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And that's the revelation I got today. Because he's always told me to recount everything he did. So biblical to keep recounting, you know, what he's doing. And so if you might not know what we're talking about if you didn't hear last night's show. So they are again. Oh, well, that's the best we can do, honey. Yeah, he doesn't care. And so with that said, in last night's show, I don't want to really recap it. And you can probably follow what I'm going to share, but I would recommend listening to it because you know, I'm not sitting here making this stuff up. It's God talking, okay? I'm not saying I'm God, but God uses people, and they speak forth what God's saying. And that's what people do here at RCC. We speak forth boldly what our daddy is saying. And we make a distinction when it's just a strong leading we feel, or if it's definitely God, or this is what I'm – but I'm telling you, this is the Lord, okay? And I stand accountable before my dad. And I'm standing here to tell you right now, he wants his church, this church, tonight. And don't do it if you don't feel comfortable. Only go where your faith lets you. But I have the faith. I know Jerry has faith. I know Pat has faith for this. I talked to all three of them today. We are going to petition. No, we're not petitioning. Those days are over. We are holding God accountable to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And he wants us to publicly. He wants us to publicly because he wants to prove to the world before he takes us that these are my friends. And there's no other religion. I studied all these religions when we went traveling around the world. I had to know them because I had to know the premise of their gods. I had to understand that before I was able to preach Jesus Christ. I had to breach Jesus Christ. He had to be the breach between all these other religions and God. So I had to learn all this. And in my what I learned was there is no other religion where God is your friend. And where you could say something like he's accountable to you. There's no other religion where you don't have to do anything. You always have to pay homage to your God, whether you're giving him offerings or something. What Jesus did made that null and void. You don't even have to give tithes. Tithes is a voluntary thing. I do it because it's fun, and I give way more. I mean, I just started working part-time, and I already gave way more to somebody that made me really have a lot of joy to give to here, and it was really fun. And the excuse I used was it was tithes, but it really wasn't. It was like a lot more. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, I want to just say that what he wants us to do tonight is hold him accountable. And okay, so yesterday I told you guys what I went through, and it wasn't the Israelites complaining, why aren't you here? It wasn't anything like that. It's not petitioning God even. It's not even petitioning him. Those days are over. It is holding him accountable. You, and Pat, I want you to tell the story about the kid who was healed. I want you to tell that story when I'm done here. Please, could you, Pat?
The which story?
A story about the kid that was healed.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pat's going to share her story. The kid of a child who held God accountable in what he did. So she's going to share that.
Well, no, it's a man. It's a man.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah, he's online. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I'm going to, after I'm sharing, if you could share that, Pat, and then Jerry.
Sure.
I know I'm giving her. I'm giving
just
Jerry
very brief.
Throat. Yeah, and I'm giving Jerry's throat a rest because he's really hurting. But Jerry, jump in. If you have a thought and you have to, you know, that's how we are here. We're like the Italian family. Just everyone talks over everyone. Okay. So anyway, and I don't mind. There's only certain times where I can't be interrupted because I'm so, like, retarded now. I'll lose my train of thought and never catch it again, you know. So sometimes I'm like, let me go. Let me finish. Okay. So anyway. So what I wanted to say was that, okay, so I had that experience yesterday that I explained to you guys. I wake up with that experience. In the past, I mean, yeah, it was a cool thing, and I know, but no, I woke up in flames, okay, and I woke up at 5 a.m., and because I am, hey, neighbor, Nate, wave to him, remember him? Hey, one of our nice friends moved right over, he moved to another place, he was a really nice neighbor, anyway, okay, sorry, we're at the pool, and people are walking by, and there's certain people here I love, certain people I hate, okay. Okay, I don't hate them. I just don't. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So anyway,
So basically what he did was he had me wake up in this again, and it wasn't a foul, pissed off mood, okay? I'm a mule, but it wasn't anything like that, okay? It was that same, I don't even want to say righteous indignation because it's even beyond that. It is, you, okay, it is kind of, but not more. It's, I'm holding God accountable. And you know what's so shady? It's not even me doing it. It's his spirit rising up in me, telling me to hold him accountable. That's what I figured out today. I was like, I woke up and I was like, I was fuming. I was like, you need to follow through with what you said, because you said you're accountable to us, to me and my son personally, and to other brides. Let them know. And you're, what are you? What are you? What are you doing? Why are we here? This is not, this, you need to come. You know, and it was like, and it's not complaining that we're still here, nothing like that. I'm being blessed while I'm still here, okay? I know a lot of us have a lot to gripe about, but I'm living in the blessings of the Lord. So I can be here another 10 years and be blessed, okay? That's not my point. My point is, this is, he woke me up and changed my life to this event. And you're not going to be here yet? No. No. You're accountable to me because you told me, and I'm holding you accountable. And so that's what he put in my spirit. And then I was going, wow, this is so shady, because it's like, it almost seems like I'm yelling at God, but I'm not. I'm holding him accountable. And he wants me to hold him accountable, because the revelation he gave me was, when I take you, they're going to hear that you did this. That looks really cool. Yeah. I have to finish this story, sweetie, but can I tell you when I'm done? Okay. They're playing and they want it. Okay. So, anyway, so what happened was, God knows that this is our last show, or among the last shows. Mm. Okay. I really believe it could be tonight, but I'm just saying, because, you know, we've been here for long. Okay. Among the last, just to be safe. And he wants the world to know. He let me know in my spirit today that he wants the world to know that, yeah, I have a bride who could be real gusty and real gusty with me, because we're friends. Because what I did on the cross, I no longer called you a slave or a servant like most gods do, but I called you friends because of what I did on the cross. Everything I'm saying is biblical, okay? But if you don't have ears to hear and eyes to see, you're going to think, Judy is being very, again, she's being very offensive. Because she's saying that we can demand God come here now, and we should. And who dares demand God? I do, because I'm his friend, and he made me a promise, and he told me to hold him accountable. So you better get your ass here now and pick up your bride like you said, because you put us all in fucking pickle. Amen. When you had all of us give up a bunch of shit that we actually could use right now, okay? No, I'm not even playing. That we could actually use right now, and you're still not here? No, I don't think so. You are accountable.
Oh, my.
To me. I know. I'm speaking for myself. If you don't have the guts to do what I'm doing, that's okay. But if you feel like you have the guts to do it, God's saying it's okay. And if you have no faith to listen to what I'm saying, hang up, because I get it. I know it sounds offensive, but that's what RCC does. I don't really like being the unpopular one that offends everyone. I don't know why more people would listen to a jackass 10-year-old. I don't know why people would be so angry at a 10-year-old prophet who was giving such amazing that I don't understand it. People are stupid, but I do get it, because when it's God, when it's really God, it usually gets rejected by the majority of believers, and just a small percent believe a real movement of God is not real popular, okay? And we're leaving, and I don't care to impress anyone, but I'm gonna do what my dad told me. Because he said to get on his church, and he said to publicly hold him accountable to all the promises he gave us. And it's today. The promise is for today. And it's been today for over a year. Not over a year and a half, but over a year it's been today. And I say that with confidence and boldness. And he needs to hold up his end of the bargain. And I'm not talking, you know, even a week from today. It's now. And he wants us to do that because, see, when people listen, they're going to be like, how dare you? I mean, and then he wants to say, oh, no, yeah. Because, see, a religious spirit says, you can't treat God like that. A religious spirit, and I have one. I have a religious spirit because I was into religion for before he pulled me out of church over 20 years. So I'm always being delivered from my religious programming. Okay, you guys, and I was saved in my bedroom. So I started out really authentic, and I always was. But when I got into church a couple years later, I lost a lot of my sweetness due to rules that the church was telling me. And then I had this whole different picture of God. I was so warped after church got a hold of me. I wasn't, but church warped me to where my beliefs were so warped that I actually thought that at one point that my experience in my bedroom wasn't even real. And I, when I knew I was questioning that, that's when I knew, wait a minute, that's the only thing that I know was real. So either these people at church are saying the wrong thing or I'm wrong. And I knew I wasn't wrong. Because just like he fell on my son and I know he's coming today, and I gave everything up for his appearing, I know that what happened in my room at 16 and a half was real. Because I would have been another teen suicide statistic. Because that's what I was about to do until God appeared to me and changed me. It was amazing. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. You are free to do this tonight with us and participate in it. And even if you don't feel comfortable doing it, but you feel like, okay, I participate, you're welcome to. But I know there's at least two or three of us here tonight, and it says where two or three are gathered. And I know, I'm pretty sure Pat feels comfortable doing it. I didn't get a, her and I didn't talk for super long, but because the show was going to start. She goes, oh, we better go. The show's going to start. I'm like, oh, yeah. So, guys, we have the right as friends of God, and God wants to say to the world listening, yeah, I took them. And, yeah, they have the right to demand and hold me accountable because they're my friends. I'm marrying them. They are my friends. I'm their God, and they love me, and they respect me, and I'm their leader, but we're also friends. Ye are my friends. And God wanted a friend. He's always wanted fellowship and companionship. Who doesn't? It's probably time to go, honey. It's 5:58. It's almost 6. But we can stay longer if you want. Okay, perfect. Okay, yeah, perfect. Just have fun, yeah. 6:08. Whatever. Okay, I'll tell you at 6:10. All right, so I don't really know how it looks like because I've never done this before, but I got the revelation from Daddy today, and it was fresh. It was happening as I was talking to Jerry. And I was so pumped up about it that I went to attempt to make 3 videos on the Raptor Donkey channel, and God did not let them upload because this is just for family. He doesn't even want anyone else. You know what I mean? It's like anyone, it's family, and anyone that listens in the archives, it's not a part of RCC, but listens, they'll be blessed. But it's for RCC family. It's for the Elopture Bride. It's for the Elope, the ones that God is taking in the you know, because there's more than one rapture. There's the worldwide rapture, and there's, he already took heaven. And so what I'm saying is, it's a very, God let me know today that this is a compliment to who he is and his power in our lives, that we, mere men and women, can hold the God of the universe that created everything accountable. And a religious spirit says, who do you think you are? Oh my gosh. You should be shaking and trembling before your God. No, I don't shake and tremble. I shake and tremble before God when I see his judgment. And I shake and tremble for you, the world, but not for me. I'm a friend. I'm a lamb. He tenderly guides and leads me. He's my gentle, kind shepherd. He's a lion that roars at me and defends me and says, you will not touch my bride. You will not touch my daughter. You will not. That's who I serve. So as a deep friend of God, I have the right tonight before God, our pastor Jesus, okay? We know God the Father and God the Son are the same person but different beings in one. Jesus is like, yeah, get in here already. And God's like, hold on, I just have one more chess piece. We're like, dude, I know you like playing chess, and I know you like to think a lot before you make that next move, but your next chess piece will be moved now because you made some promises. And Jesus is like, yeah, you tell him, you know? Jesus in me is doing this, you guys. This is not something I'm making up in my mind and all. No, this is like, I mean, I woke up fuming. And it's not like anger, like I'm annoyed or in trouble. It's not like that. It's like, you need to be accountable. You told me. Because he told me this morning, I forgot all about that when he told me he was accountable to me. I made videos on it. And I talked about it at RCC a long time ago. I forgot all about it, you guys. I forget stuff, okay?
Yeah.
But he reminded me today. And he said, and he was like, he tied it all together. He goes, and I was like, yeah. So that's what this is. You want me to hold you accountable in front of the public before you take us. And I will. You absolutely better come now, like you promised. Now, with that, we're going to do it together as a church. And I don't even really know how it's going to look because I've never done anything like this. But maybe Jerry and Pat can help me figure out how to do it. Like, can we, whoever's in agreement with it, just we say it together or we eat after somebody. But before we do that, and before church service is over, Pat, share your story about the man who got accountable. He held him accountable.
His name is Schultz. I forget his first name. He has the Elijah list.
Steve Schultz, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks,
and he
Steve
was sick.
Schultz.
I mean, really, really sick for like a year. Finally, he would get so disgusted. And prayers and this and that. And he yelled at Jesus, "You're not doing your job." He was healed the next day, just about. So go figure.
Wow.
No, when I was younger, I was talking to a priest, and I said, "You know, I'm kind of worried because sometimes I'm really like up front with the Lord." And he started laughing. And I said, "Oh," he said, "that's all right." He said, "That just shows you have a very intimate, loving relationship, and you can be totally honest." So, you know, and like 3 months ago, like I went off on him, and it took about 4 days before I found some peace with him. But he knows. He knows. And he says, even in he and I, he says, "Cry out to me." He says, "I need to hear your cry. I want to hear your cry." And he's hearing our cry.
Tell them, Pat. Tell them about the man, what he did.
I did. Oh, no, he just cried that. He said that out. He said to the Lord, "You're not doing your job." And that turned the whole tide for Steve. And he got cured. It went away. And he couldn't breathe.
Not doing your job. And then God healed him.
There was another story.
Because he was in the promise of God.
Yeah. This story is really weird. Padre Pio, there was a mother who she had a really sick child. This is awful, though. But, it's just another story like it. And she was so mad at God, and she took the kid and she threw him against the altar. She says, "Here, you take him, you cure him." And when he landed, he was totally cured. Story. Yeah.
Okay.
She was so fed up. Furious at God, more furious than you guys or anybody, or even Steve. And she threw the kid. She threw the kid against the altar in total. She said, "Here, you take care of this. This kid is sick. I have prayed." And she threw him, and he landed cured.
Wow.
I don't know what kind of thing this is. I don't know why he does it like this. I don't. That's one of the things he's going to answer when we go up there, like, what?
Well, you know what, Pat? I mean, I don't think anybody but friends of God really feel comfortable doing it. And this mom was just pissed off, and he honored that, and that's
totally
really cool.
Totally.
And you know what? We keep forgetting that, you know, and I forget it, that God is on our side. He's the one. When I woke up today, he's the one that put that fire in me to make him accountable to me.
Yeah.
And blinded when he told me.
You turned to him. You turned to him. You turned to him. You didn't turn to anybody else. You turned to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you were screaming. I've screamed at him. I thought he didn't strike me with lightning, and he didn't put me in hell, and he didn't strike that lady with lightning, and he didn't strike Steve with lightning. He didn't strike you with lightning.
I refuse to turn to anyone but God. Even Jerry knows.
Exactly.
There'll be days where I don't call. I don't even call Jerry because I'm like, I am talking to God. Okay, I'm sorry. He needs to say something.
But
right,
he
Jerry,
loves
you'd
that.
Be like, "Are you okay? Is everything okay?"
Absolutely. Yeah.
He loves.
I'm like, yeah, but sorry. Like, as much as you know, our talks
don't.
Are freaking amazing and very nourishing. It's like, no, this guy better talk to me now. Until he does, I'm going to die. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, you guys, we get to do this tonight as a church, and it would be so awesome if it was our last service, and it would be, what, Jerry? What?
I want to say, go over a little bit of my personal history, which relates very much to the idea of him being our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've mentioned this once before, but you've said this very well, but I would just like to illustrate this. You know, I grew up not knowing God.
Yeah.
But through my first 20-something kind of years, really not having any idea where his place in my life was, And but I had had a series of experiences from one time to the next. Some of them, which quite literally, there was very substantial danger of physical harm. But there were also other kinds of circumstances where I had knew that there was a supernatural influence that had interacted in my life for my betterment. I went through a long time and, quite frankly, then went on my spiritual growth walk and came to know God. And a lot of those things had I never connected. And then I got to a point where I really wanted to have a more personal way to relate to the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And because we have a name for the Father and the Son, we don't really have a name for the Holy Spirit other than a descriptive name like Comforter. But I knew the Holy Spirit had been active in my life. And I, you know, I was a little bit whimsical about it, but I was also serious. I really wanted to know. And for a while, you know, I had one idea, and it was really just a throwaway thing, and I knew it wasn't quite right. And it went along, and then I had an experience where I was sort of verbally reviewing with someone my walk and certain things that had happened, and I knew that he had been there. And finally, and he opened my eyes, and it all came to me in one moment when I realized, looking back, and the reason I'm getting into this right now is because not only does he call us friends, but I just want to say that he caused me in that moment not only to recognize that I could call him friend, that I could call him friend because he already had been a friend in my life before I ever knew who he was. So he is not just calling me friend. He has been my friend. He has acted as my friend in my life, and I know that. And that's how real it is.
Yeah.
Notion of friend is no small thing.
Right.
He's been there. He's been there. He's done that. He has walked the walk, even before I knew who he was. So this level of relationship is not inappropriate. It's where he met me before I even knew his name, before he even knew it.
And I bet there's a lot of stories out there where people have really kind of like, they've given Jesus their cry. Their cry, but they turned to him. They didn't go to anybody else. He loves that. He knows how hard it is. He knows how hard it is here for us. He knows the enemy comes after us. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Jerry, thanks for sharing that, because, you know, a religious spirit says, who are you? But God says, they know who they are. A religious spirit says, who are you? And God says, I'll tell you who they are. They are my people, and they know who they are. Sorry, you don't know who you are, people that judge those of us that know our daddy. Sorry, but God says they know who they are to us. And that's why we can talk to him the way we do, because we know. Do you know anyone that's afraid of their dad if it's a good dad? No, you're not afraid of your dad. If he's a good dad, you love your dad. You'll tell him anything. Okay, what is this thing about everyone shaking and trembling? If I hope I get in the rapture, I'm shaking and trembling. Yeah, you should if you don't know him. That's who he's talking to. Okay? Some people just don't know God yet enough. And so their lack of faith, and then they judge us that know him. But I don't need to really address that. All I'm saying is this. All I'm saying is this. Because we know him, out of our childlike faith, right now, before the show ends, we are going to sit, as I might get carried away with these kids in a minute. I have to bring them in.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this before we go, but we can do it again, and we can do it every day until he gets here, if we even have another time. But what I want to say is I want to do this. Do you want to do it, Jerry?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it, Pat?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Okay, we are going to hold God accountable to do exactly what he said he was going to do. We're going to hold him accountable publicly, and we're going to tell him. And it's not petitioning. You know, we're not pleading our case before the judge because we already won. The judge agreed with us. He's the one that wants us to hold him accountable. So the judge is like, yeah, got it. I'm coming. Thank you. I was waiting for you to hold me accountable to my promises to you. I love you. That's what he wants us to do. And I'm going to do it right now with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I don't even know how it looks. If anyone has a better, more graceful way to do it, Jerry or Pat can think of one. But I'm just hardcore right now because I have muffins in the oven, and I made biscuits with chicken nuggets, and the kids are going to be at the pool. So I just got to do it just like on the run. Okay, so, but I mean it with my whole heart. And God told me it was glorious, but I didn't have to go in a prayer closet anymore, that I could do stuff on the run because he thinks it's glorious that I'm a busy mom. That's what he made me. So he's like, thank you for serving my kids. So, you know, I'm not doing this half-assed, but I am an ass. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing it with all my heart. But I'm in a rush. So Pat and Jerry, you can agree with me or you can do it in your own way, which is probably better. It's more authentic. I'm going to do it in my way right now, the way I know how. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it publicly in front of everyone. And Dad, I'm holding you accountable because you told me you were accountable to every word you told, every promise you made me and my son. And everyone here listening knows the promises. We've been through all the videos. I don't need to recount them to you, but a summary of those promises is you're coming today. We won't be here any longer. And I'm holding you accountable to do just that. And no more. No more. No more will these evil people have rule over your bride. Come get us now and do what you said you were going to do. Because you're a God. You don't lie. You're faithful. You don't play games. And if you wait even one more day, I'm holding you accountable to come today. Because I'm your friend. And you love me, and you want me to do this. You want me, your daughter, to tell you, the King who formed me and fashioned me and made me, to hold you accountable, because you told me you were accountable to me. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Didn't make that up. I wasn't hearing silly voices. I know my Maker. You prepared me before you fell on my son for 28 years for this moment. And I want to thank you for that and what an honor it is. And right now, I throw myself at you, my King, my lover, my groom. I throw myself into your arms, into the damp floor, into the wedding ceremony. And I say, come today like you said you were going to do and relieve us and rescue us and marry us like you promised every date, every today. Holding you accountable, no more waiting, the marriage now. I love you. Thank you so much for letting me do this. Thank you for telling me to do this. Thank you for giving me the balls to do this. Donkey temple. And thank you, Father, that you're good. Thank you that you're good. And anyone that agreed with this, bless them, Lord, because I'm feeling blessed even now, and I love you. And thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna mute my phone, and you guys can do it your way whenever you feel like it, and I'm going to keep listening to the show, but I don't want you to hear a bunch of screaming kids, okay, or a screaming donkey.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know last night I really spent some time with him along these lines. And my voice is really marginal right now, so I'll do the best I can.
That's okay.
But it must be what he wants. And, you know, it's such a metaphor for where we're all at right now, right on the edge, barely able to do this.
Yeah, we are.
And it's because we have, as much as humanly possible, been unconditional in our following of his lead. We've followed him into various kinds of ministry, various kinds of spiritual leadings, various kinds of sharing, We have followed him into our church and our church family right here, our Raptor-centered family. He declared a church over which he would be our pastor, Jesus. And we have offered everything we have to him within our human ability. And it's not that we have or haven't done it perfectly, it's that we've done it. And he has given us leadings, encouragements, alerts, and they have led us to where we're at because we have followed them, we have embraced them, we have respected them, we have believed them. And we know he's good for it. We know it's not a big deal for him to do what he says he would do. But it is a big deal for us to pursue where he would lead us. Jackasses, court jesters, whatever you want to, however one wants to look at it. But we have set aside worldly conditions, worldly expectations, worldly ways of thinking and doing things, worldly ways of embracing our environment in exchange for the way he has caused us to be led and to see things. And so we call on him to bring it home, to fulfill the promise which he has created in us. We have lived it, we've walked it. And in, I know in my case, I have a lot of blessings around me, but they've all come from giving things over to him. And wherever I'm at right now, it's not because I've held something back. It's because these things have been given to him. And quite frankly, I had to take some scary steps from time to time. But we have not held back. We have offered ourselves up to him as unconditionally as possible and in human terms. And most particularly in a way that if he had given us any indication that we needed to give more, I believe there's many of us who would have given more without delay. More of us, whatever that was, that he wanted us to have. And so I... poor Chitty's phone dropped off. I'm going to try to call her back here. But this unconditional. Judy, but then I'm going to come back to it right now. So
I'm going to play this song unconditionally because we have put it all out. We put it all out there. And
yeah.
I don't think there's even in human terms, I don't think there's really anybody who, if they knew, could really question it. So praise God, we thank Him, and we trust Him for all these things and promises.
Promises. We believe.
Nate, you know how I knew?
And just like a child asking parent for something that they have promised them, we ask our daddy, with whom we have a relationship, with whom we have gone on a long walk in an unusual way for his purposes. We're asking him if
actually
your promises to
us. Xbox One is doing an update. So
those promises are material and real and to be manifested by him.
If we don't, we can finish that box and then I can see it again.
Yeah.
When I come back.
Oh. Okay.
But I just want to take a bath. You know what I said.
So, anyway, yeah, if anybody else has anything they'd like to add on here, we've got Ben and Alana and Pat, Cherbell, and Raina called in. Hi, Raina.
Oh, hey, Raina.
Hello, how are you?
I'm definitely believing in calling on him. There was promises to us because I believe them as much as every other lady he's ever been.
Sure. I guess you have to go to the fact that God says, my ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. So it'll be interesting to get up there and find out just exactly how that works. I have utmost trust, but like others, you know, I give them a look like you say today, and it's like, and you tell all these others, and it's been, I can see 2010-11 where you're kind of acclimating us to everything, and that's great. But people will say in the messages, well, I'm coming soon, and then I'm coming sooner, and I'm coming now, and it's like, imminent. So it's like when time goes by, Jesus dear, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, but it's like somebody, listen to me. If I'm at the airport and you tell me, well, I'm going to be there in a few hours, and then a month goes by, I mean, what am I going to think? Okay, I respect the fact your ways are not our ways are not your ways. But, I don't get it.
That's right.
And that bothers me. I mean, if it was reversed and you were waiting for me and I said, Jesus, I'm going to be there in a couple of hours, and then you're still waiting a month, would you still be waiting for me a month later wondering, did I lose my mind or did you get a bad connection or what happened here? So, I mean, we're looking at it in a very human way too, but a very common sense and down to earth and honest way, because Lord, we have an honest relationship with you, and we have an honest relationship with you, and we have an honest relationship with you. What more can I say? I don't understand everything. It seems like things should be cut and dry, and this is that, and you mean this, and that's how we live here. Why any kind of a runaround? I mean, would that make any sense? You know, all kinds of things are going to go through us, and we don't want to not understand, because then the enemy gets in there and says, oh, yeah, well, I told you so. Oh, yeah. That isn't true. You're doing something. Maybe you're teaching us more faith. Maybe you're teaching us patience. I'm just trusting you. I'm just trusting you and loving you. And I'm not going to get stressed out over any of this, but, dear God, people are scratching their heads. They're scratching their heads.
Right.
And I don't think I'm sure you understand that. And so we're trying to understand. We're scratching our heads and wondering how much longer we're going to scratch our heads. I mean, you know, and no disrespect, no nothing. I love you with all my heart. I think, you know, we turn to you. Jesus, we turn to you. We turn to you. We love you. We trust you. Again, I'm thinking your ways are not our ways and our ways are not your ways, but I'm still trying to make sense of it, because this is the biggest thing after your passion, death, and resurrection, the rapture. And Jesus, we want to get it right. And it seems like you're speaking to an awful lot of people about imminent, right now. Used to be soon, I'm coming soon, and it's like right now. And Lord, these are people who really love you, who are faithful. These are the bride. These are the ones who trust you. These are the ones who are not part of the world. These are the ones who really want to be with you and love you. So we don't always understand what's happening. And yes, you want to be accountable to us. You want us to trust you, Jesus. You want us to trust you. But, you know, you can understand that it's, Yeah, it's just kind of hard sometimes. We're still going to trust and we're still going to love and we're going to rake in the souls for you, whatever we can do until the coming. But we don't understand, Lord. Forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand. And yet you want us to still continue to trust and love and know that you're coming. And you say today, and you know, and it's like you can understand where we're coming from, but we're not going to lose faith or anything. It's just we get up that you've got some explaining to do.
It has. Well,
and you can understand, Jesus, we're the ones who are trying to be so faithful and with you. And we just don't get it always. One day we will, like Judy said, in a flash we'll understand. But meanwhile, you know, what are we hanging our hat on? I'm trying to find the hooks.
I know. It's time for him, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're presenting our claim check. You know, he's given us a promise. It's a real promise. It's as real as everything else.
Yeah.
And we're saying, okay, you know, Daddy, we've walked the walk. We've done the dishes.
Yeah.
We've cut the lawn. It's time to take us for the ice cream, just like you promised, you know. It's a promise.
We're the faithful bride. We're the faithful bride. And we've got everything coming at us.
While I believe we've always believed these promises, I really do believe that there has been a change in the last week or so that a sense of finality of what we really can do. I believe those, while we see things happening around us, I honestly think those who are going to be saved, I think that's all been done in the spirit, if not in the physical. And until the next iteration, and which is to say, you know, with us scumbags or what have you. But, you know, obviously we will keep trying to do the things that we would try to do if we're still here. I believe, and if he keeps us here, I think we're going to see that it's not going to matter what we do very much. Because I think the world's ability, I think we are increasingly separated from the world, and I think the world is increasingly not prepared for the message we have to deliver. And and I think our departure is part of the preparation for that next stage. And there will be a great revival, but it's not going to be before he comes. It's going to be when he comes and pulls us out of it. And then after that, the worldwide rapture. So I believe we're there. I believe we're very important moments for our, for our rapture-centered family, and I believe we have very important moments approaching the world.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I don't think we're going to see Paul.
I don't think so either. There's going to be
honestly,
what
I
world is
going to
be left?
I have a righteous indignation in me about June, and I don't have any sense that I'm wrong to feel that way. Just like Judy said, we're believing on his words, and so I call, Daddy, it's time to come. It's time to get your stuff together and fulfill your promises. And we believed on those promises. We've given everything that we've had, that you have led us to give up to you, for you, and to you, and it's time.
Maybe
it's
we have
time
to storm the throne room.
Well, that's not too far off of what we're doing right now. And
exactly.
Ryan!
That's it.
We're talking to the wrong one. Sorry, is that awful? Father God, forgive me.
It's not awful. It's like, come on.
I'm kidding. I'm just having fun.
He has given us standing.
He has given us standing. He has promised us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's relationship.
I don't think it's Jesus.
It's what he always wanted. it's what he always wanted.
I'm sorry. I mean it with respect. I do. I love you, dear God. I love you madly. But.
Well, I'm just going to ask one more time if I've probably said more than I need to say. And I'm just going to ask one more time if there's anybody else online who has something they want to add. Because if not, I think we've made our case. I think we've made ourselves clear. And if we would happen to be here tomorrow, then we'll come back and do it again.
No, I don't. We love you, dear God. We want to go home. We want to be with you. We love you. We love you. We want to be with you because we love you. Because we love you. And we want to be with you. And look at this world, dear God. I mean, really, you told us all the things to look for. We are definitely in the season. So we're just anxious, and that's what you're hearing out of us. But we gave you our cry. We didn't go to anybody else. You hear us cry. I am woman, hear me roar. I'll stand in the gap and I will yell through the universe, and you're going to hear me loud and clear. I'm yelling for all my babies.
And you know. Pat, this is the song I want to hear you sing it.
Me sing it?
Yep, that's right. We're at that door.
Well, I don't know
next
if I know
song
it.
I wanted to sing
Turn Around, Look at Me with Johnny Mathis. I would sing that with you.
You'll get it. You'll just pick it up, Matt.
At last, at last, my love has come along. My lonely days. My and life is like a song. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. At last, the sky's above the blue. The sky's above the blue. My heart was wrapped up in clover. My heart wrapped up in clover. The night I looked at you. I found a dream. That I could speak to. A dream that I can't call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to. A thrill
Daddy, it's time to get her done.
Yeah, sure is.
No more doing left to do. Doing lots to do.
One day I'll sing along with Johnny Mathis, the there's someone walking behind you. Yeah, I love that. Try not to cry. Beautiful.
I'm going to close it out on that song.
Okay.
Pat, I don't
sure.
think, I don't think he can resist our plea.
Oh, I sing to him here. Are you kidding? Oh, boy, I sing to him here. And his face will just change and light up when I sing. Oh, my gosh. He knows.
Okay.
He knows
Spirit
we're lonely and anxious.
Says,
they come.
Spirit of the Bride says.
Come. Get it done, Daddy.
Spirit of the Bride says.
Come.
Come.
Come and get
it.
Amen. Okay, now.